Today's scripture reading is taken from 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 27 to chapter 13, verse 3. Now you are the body of Christ and individually members of it. And God has appointed in the church first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then miracles, then gifts of healing, helping, administrating, and various kinds of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all work miracles? Do all possess gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? But earnestly desire the higher gifts, and I will show you a still more excellent way. If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have faith so as to remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. If I give away all I have, and if I deliver up my body to be burned, but have not love, I gain nothing. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Greetings in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Today is the second day of Chinese New Year, so let me take the opportunity to wish everyone on site and online, 新年蒙福, 身体安康. Blessed New Year, and may the Lord keep you in good health. Today we continue with the Sermon and Bible Study series on spiritual gifts. And as we begin, let us seek the Lord to help us with today's passage, that in His grace and mercy, He may illuminate our minds and allow us to see a glimpse of His heart. So let us turn our Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and let us pray. God, our Father, speak your truth to us this day. Prepare our hearts and minds so that the light of your word can illuminate our understanding, convicting us, challenging us, and changing us, allowing us to bear good fruits according to your will. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be pleasing in your sight. O Lord, our Rock and our Redeemer. Amen. When I was younger during Chinese New Year, there was a time there was no Netflix. And during Chinese New Year, there were Chinese movies being shown on the TV. And so I recall this Hong Kong movie titled Shi Xiong Di, Ten Brothers. I'm not sure if any of you remember. This movie is about 10 siblings, each born with a unique special ability. One has eyes that can see very far, another one has ears that can hear from miles away. One has amazing strength, another one has stretchable arms and legs, and yet another has a huge mouth that can shout very loudly over a huge distance. One can fly, can imagine that, another can grow in height on demand, and another can tunnel underground. Each one of them has a unique ability, and as the movie progresses, the use of their special abilities improve over time. But despite these special abilities, they are not able to fight off the antagonist alone as individuals. They would get defeated, ridiculed, and return home crying or blaming one another. At the end of the movie, the brothers finally work together, using their special abilities to complement one another to defeat the antagonist and rescue their father who was imprisoned. And I thought, while this may be a work of fiction, it is a wonderful example of the need for unity within the body of Christ, even as our gifts are diverse. For similarly, the body of Christ is bestowed with a diversity of gifts, and that only when exercised in unity, the body can function. Over the past few Sundays, the sermons remind us that God is the source of our spiritual gifts. It is by His grace and mercy that He bestows them to His people, to us, for the orderly function of the body, in building up His church, for our maturing in the faith and knowledge of Him. Today, our passage from the second part of the 1 Corinthians chapter 12. But before that, allow me to do a quick recap. We know that Paul wrote the letter to the Corinthian church in response to the oral reports he heard about the church. In his first letter to the Corinthians, he had to address the matters concerning marriage, food sacrificed to idols, and worship. Now, the Corinthians' behavior in worship was also rather chaotic. Some in the church insisted that those with more spectacular gifts are considered more spiritual than others. And Paul then had to write to them to address this topic of spiritual gifts. In the earlier 26 verses of chapter 12, Paul emphasized that though there are a variety of gifts, but there is one Lord, and the gifts are apportioned to each one individually by the Spirit as He wills for the common good. In the body of Christ, there are many members. No member functions alone. Every member needs one another. That's when Paul introduced the idea of unity in diversity. Yet unity does not mean uniformity. All are given diverse gifts, and all gifts are given and necessary. And in today's passage, Paul furthered this argument to the Corinthian church. I've divided it into two sections for our appreciation. This can also be found in the sermon outline in today's church bulletin. Diversity in gifts bestowed from verse 27 to 31, and the exercising of gifts in love in the next chapter, 1 Corinthians 13, verse 1 to 3. Let's look at this together. In verse 27, it reads, "Now you are the body of Christ, individually members of it, and God has appointed in the church first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, and then miracles, then gifts of healing, helping, administrating, and various kinds of tongues. Are all apostles, are all prophets, are all teachers, do all work miracles, do all possess gifts of healing, do all speak with tongues, do all interpret? But earnestly desire the higher gifts, and I will show you a still more excellent way." In these final verses of chapter 12, Paul referred again to the metaphor of the body and introduced another list of gift examples. He listed apostles, which the root word in Greek refers to those sent on the mission of the gospel. In Paul's time, that would mean the disciples of Jesus and others who were also sent on the mission to proclaim the gospel. In our time, we can understand this to mean missionaries or church planters. Now, prophets can be understood as those who proclaim and give an exposition of God's word, and teachers would mean those in charge of discipleship and passing on the truth of the faith. Helping, of course, is self-explanatory, but would likely include the acts of assistance to the poor and needy. Administration may be understood as oversight or guidance, which includes the governing aspect of church leadership. Now, it is important to note here that the first, second, and third mentioned here are not rankings in significance. Okay, I repeat that, they are not rankings in significance, but rather we can think of them as a chronological priority. To first establish a local congregation, a church planter is needed. And thereafter, the regular proclamation of God's word must follow, and then discipleship can happen together with the teaching of the faith. And Paul then follows on with a series of rhetorical questions to make his point. Are all apostles, are all prophets, are all teachers, and so on? Of course, the implied answer to all these questions is no. In the body of Christ, not all are apostles, not all are prophets, not all are teachers, not all work miracles. But after that set of rhetorical questions, there's something interesting in verse 31. And Paul writes, "But earnestly desire the higher gifts," or the NIV translates the higher as greater. Now, this sentence seems to be out of place in his argument. What was Paul referring to as gifts that are higher or greater? Paul was actually trying to tell the Corinthians that it is okay to desire certain gifts or even try to cultivate these gifts. To desire does not mean they will be given, because ultimately it is for the Holy Spirit to grant if He so chooses. But much more than that, the Corinthians should consider desiring the higher or greater gifts, referring to the less visible gifts which Paul spoke of in verses 23. And it reads, "And on those parts of the body that we think less honorable, we bestow the greater honor." Paul is exhorting the Corinthians to move away from desiring the gifts such as speaking in tongues, which seem to be holier or more spectacular, and instead desire for the gifts that are less visible, because there is also a need for those gifts as well in the body of Christ. And with that, Paul concludes his argument, which we reinforce here today for our understanding, that we are bestowed with a diversity of spiritual gifts within the unity of the body of Christ. Hence, diversity within unity. Now, what does this mean for us today? In tandem with the Sermon and Bible Study series, we have our PSPC ministry showcases over the past few Sundays. Every ministry was invited to take part in this, and so they may increase in the awareness of the ministry and invite members to join and serve together and alongside. Within a ministry, there are many ways to serve. And not everyone has to come up here to make announcements. Not everyone can handle ministry budgets, and not everyone can play instruments. And there are roles in a ministry which also require background work, like logistics planning, planning for the buffet, doing up Excel sheets for rostering, and writing reports. Just like what Paul exhorted the Christians in Corinth, we are all members of the body of Christ, and we have diverse gifts to contribute to the church and ministry. And to drive this further, perhaps a good example will be the medical teams in a hospital. In that setting, you will need doctors, surgeons, pharmacists, therapists, nurses, administrative staff, cleaning staff, facility staff, staff with knowledge of medical equipment, counselors, and even cooks. Even within these roles, there are many specializations. And those of us who work in a hospital setting would know that there are many roles required for a hospital to function as intended. And using Paul's pattern of rhetorical questioning, are all doctors, are all therapists, are all pharmacists, are all cooks? The church is no different. The ministry of the church are no different. Are all pastors, are all elders, are all deacons, are all church managers? Our spiritual gifts are apportioned to us individually as willed by the Holy Spirit because of God's grace and mercy. As such, there is no gift that is more holy. There is no gift that is more spiritual than others. We are all members of the body of Christ, each with our own spiritual gift for God's kingdom work and purpose. This is diversity within unity. And in case some of you who are still wondering what your spiritual gifts are, let me put it out here. The spiritual gifts questionnaire you have received in your cell group is but a simple guide. As Christians, we are responsible for praying, searching our hearts, and trying out ministries, and so that inward desire for a spiritual gift may be externally affirmed by those whom we serve. In other words, pray about it, try it out, give yourself some time, talk to others about it. When I was in the seminary, students had to be in different committees as part of student community life. One day, I was approached to consider the role of the student retreat chairperson. And without thinking, I immediately said, no, cannot. Where I got time to serve? I don't have enough time to do my readings. I still want to serve. And later on, when I shared the incident with one of my professors, this was what he advised. He said this: as a Christian, it is your responsibility and you must pray about it before accepting or rejecting any invitation to serve. Regardless of your own thoughts or decision, prayer must come first before anything else. And therefore, over the past weeks of ministry showcases, when you invite someone to serve in your ministry and the person replies, I will pray about it, it is totally okay because it is the right answer. The important thing is to give time and follow up with the person for the outcome of the prayer. And for this first point of diversity within unity, that as we serve in the church, we pray for the Holy Spirit to reveal His gifts to us and pray about where He wants us to serve, for we are all members of the body of Christ. Now, just before we enter into chapter 13, you will notice another sentence in verse 31 that reads, "And I will show you a still more excellent way." Notice that when Paul used the more excellent way, he was not referring to a more excellent gift per se. He was not referring to something or a gift that is better. Rather, he was referring to the posture in which one should exercise a spiritual gift. And that in the posture of love, Sorry, and that is the posture of love. Love is a cardinal virtue. It is more important than all spiritual gifts. And Paul elaborates the importance of this virtue in the first three verses of chapter 13. And it reads, "If I speak in the tongues of men and angels, but have not love, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. If I give away all I have, and if I deliver all up my body to be burned, but have not love, I gain nothing." In these verses, Paul makes it clear to the Corinthians that without love, the gifts are pointless. But we must be clear about Paul's use of the word love in this context. The Greek root word for love used in these three verses is agape, which typically means divine love, love from God. But in this context, the word agape is likely used to mean friendship or brotherly love. This understanding, this meaning of agape can be used interchangeably during the time. And if one speaks in tongues of the angels but not have love, it is just hollow reverberation of or a meaningless sound. If one understands the mysteries and have faith but not love, the person is nothing. If one gives up his own body to be burned as a sacrifice, or selling oneself into slavery to raise funds for the poor but not have love, there is nothing gained. And these are the three points Paul used to hammer home the importance of love in exercising spiritual gifts. Now, Paul's emphasis of love in these verses was to address the destructive manner in which the Corinthians were using their gifts. You may ask at this point, what does this love look like? The answer is not part of our sermon passage, but it is in the following verses of chapter 13, verses 4 to 7. I will not expound too much on these verses, but it reads, "Love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, and endures all things." You may realize that this is the popular passage in which many couples use for their wedding exhortations. But in this context, it is to inform the Corinthians about love in the use of spiritual gifts. So then how should we use our spiritual gifts? We use our spiritual gifts with patience in kindness, not boasting in it, nor arrogant in the use of it. We listen to others' opinions, not insisting our own way. It is not resentful, it rejoices with the truth. In fact, as I read out these qualities of love, don't you think it is similar to the fruit of the Spirit? The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And that perhaps, if you consider this, when we exercise our God-given spiritual gifts, our service would naturally exude these qualities of the fruit of the Spirit. But of course, realistically, as we serve in ministries, we will have moments of frustrations and misunderstandings, because these are part and parcel of human relationships. Serving in love does not negate the possibilities of frustration, heartaches, anger, and misunderstandings. But rather, serving in love, the next slide, serving in love enables us to respond differently to enraging circumstances. Serving in love reduces the possibility for frustration. Serving in love allows us to communicate anger properly. And serving in love increases our gratitude for the way God has worked in our lives. And therefore, just as Paul exhorted the Corinthians, it is the same for us, that we must exercise our spiritual gifts in love for one another and for God. Now, we know that today is day 2 of the Chinese New Year, but do we know what occasion it would be on Wednesday? And it will be 14 February, Valentine's Day, for those of you who know. And I recall my first date with June many years ago. We were not boyfriend, girlfriend then. After dinner at McDonald's at Boat Quay, we decided to take a stroll along Singapore River towards the Esplanade. And as we were walking, we saw fireworks in the sky. It was the Chingay Festival near the area. We felt like it was a special occasion for our first date, as if I paid money and arranged for the fireworks. But it was not so, so we just took it in and just took it as a very nice celebration for us. Later on, we decided to rest our legs and we sat on a nearby bench facing the river. And then a girl walked up to us with a basket of roses and asked me, "Would you like to buy a stock of roses for your girlfriend?" We didn't realize it was Valentine's Day and vendors selling roses to couples in the area are found everywhere. However, this was not my main concern at that time. And for those who are alert, you would realize that the question from the flower seller was a loaded question. The question was, "Would you like to buy a stock of roses for your girlfriend?" If I were to buy a stock of roses for June, I would be assuming that she is already my girlfriend. And if I don't buy a rose, it would be very ungentlemanly of me since it was Valentine's Day. So I'm stuck. But before answering, I needed more questions to decide. And so I asked, "How much does one stock of rose cost?" And the girl replied, $10. I mean, it's such a romantic evening, a simple dinner, enjoyable stroll, engaging conversation, and even surprise fireworks. Buying the rose would be seem to be a fitting end to the date. And what do you think I said to the flower seller? Of course, I said, "No lah, so expensive." Much to the surprise of June, I think June was quite shocked as well. But of course, I said no. For $10, I can buy 3 to 4 roses in the market. I mean, isn't the evening wonderful enough already? And there were even fireworks to mark the occasion. I mean, how many couples can say that they see fireworks on their first date? I'm not sure about you, but to me personally, Valentine's Day is an opportunity for commercialism. And couples who wish to express their love for one another at this occasion must bear the higher price of goods during this time. And possibly more this year because it falls within the Chinese New Year period. But my brothers and sisters in Christ, much more than any price increase to express love on Valentine's Day, our Lord Jesus expressed His love for us by giving up His life on the cross. For the wages of sin is death, and our Lord Jesus paid it all through the death, His death on the cross. This Wednesday is the 14th of February. It is Valentine's Day. But it is also Ash Wednesday, which marks the start of the Lent season. The Lent season is a time of prayer and repentance, reflecting on Jesus' death on the cross, leading us to Good Friday and Easter. Although Valentine's Day and Ash Wednesday both celebrate love, they do so for different reasons. When we deal with the topic of love, we must speak of death, especially Jesus' death on the cross. For it is the ultimate act of God's love for us. Even though we Chinese typically do not speak about death during the Chinese New Year period, but we want to remember our Lord Jesus and His work on the cross. We have to remember His birth, His ministry, His death and resurrection. For the foundation of all these is God's love for His people. For our Lord Jesus, the Son of God, came to serve and not to be served. And He died to redeem us from sin and death. He was resurrected to give us a future hope, which is eternal life in Him. And so this Chinese New Year, we can celebrate knowing that we are united in diversity, bestowed with different spiritual gifts to serve the Lord and His people in love. That as we serve in love, that the love that first came from God, we may encourage and build up one another to mature in Christ. In 1964, there was a baby girl born to a Presbyterian pastor's family in Taiwan. The girl by the name of Huang Meilian was born with cerebral palsy, a condition which affected her limbs and her face. As a result, she was not mobile and was not able to speak. In her later years, after she had become an established painter, she wondered if she could sing one song like a normal person what song would she sing? It would definitely be a hymn, she said, because she loves to praise God. However, as she could not sing due to her condition, she decided to write a hymn, hoping that those who can sing can praise God on her behalf. And the title of the song she wrote is, If I Could Sing. And here are the lyrics. If I can sing a song, it would be for thanksgiving and praising you. In suffering, you give me comfort. In anxiety, you give me wisdom. Even though I cannot open my mouth to sing, I'd offer you my heartfelt praise. In every moment, your hand guides me. Your love fills my heart. And this is the chorus. O skylark in the air and people who can sing, would you sing on my behalf, praising God's incomparable beauty? I will listen attentively with my ears. I will resonate with my heart. This most beautiful sound from the depth of my heart, I really love you. I really love you. And there is no better way to experience the song than to hear it for ourselves. And I apologize, there is no English translation in the video. So play for us, please. Thank you. You can stop the video now. Okay, move on to the next slide. Even though Huang Meilian cannot sing, she could write the lyrics to a song. Someone else arranged the music and others sang it. And this is what the body of Christ looks like. With diverse spiritual gifts given to us as members of the body of Christ, we are united to serve the Lord and His church in love. That as we serve in love with the love that first came from God, we may encourage and build up one another to mature in Christ. Amen. Let me now hand the time over to Preacher Janice for the abridged Mandarin translation of the sermon.
Zhu内平安. 在这新春的佳节，祝大家新年蒙恩，身体安康。今天的讲道经文呢，是不同的恩赐，来自取自于哥林多前书12章27-13到13章1-3节。然后今天的讲道经文呢，是讲到不同的恩赐以爱来服侍。 一开始的时候呢，就有提到这一个港剧哈，就是十兄弟，他们都有不同的特异功能。那么虽然他们每一个人都有不同的特异功能，但是呢，如果他们单独行动的时候呢，他们是很难无法打败坏人的，所以呢，他们需要联合在一起，用自己各自的特异的功能来反而带来很大的能力。那么从这个港剧当中呢，我们的讲员呢就联想到保罗在哥林多教会写给的这一封的信所提到的这个身体的比喻，那就是耶稣的基督教会。基督的身体呢有很多的肢体，既然是肢体，就没有一个肢体可以单独运作，每一个的肢体都需要彼此，每一个的肢体都有不同的恩赐。当所有的肢体合一，彼此连接的时候，整个身体就可以运作。那么为什么保罗要用这样的比喻来教导信徒呢？因为当时候这个哥林多教会的弟兄姐妹正在面对一些混乱的事情，特别是其中一个呢，就是有关运用属灵恩赐的方面，他们轻看某一些的属灵恩赐，他们看重某一些的属灵恩赐。所以呢，从今天保罗的教导里面呢，我们提出了两个的重点。第一个的重点呢，就是不同的恩赐。那么哥林多教会他们所面对的问题呢，就是因为他们高举某一些的恩赐，所以呢，教会出现了这个的混乱。所以保罗在这个哥林多教会当中呢，就特别强调这个属灵恩赐的来源是来自三位一体的真神，是神按照自己的意思个别的分给个人。那么属灵恩赐有很多种，目的呢，就是要建立教会，使我们能够在基督里成长。那么从这个刚才的经文28节看到呢，其实呢属灵恩赐有很多种，有使徒的，有做使徒的就是去传福音，有先知去宣讲神的话语，有教师在神的话语上做教导栽培门徒，然后有行神迹，有不同的人，有管理的事情的人。所以在这个身体里面呢，不是所有的肢体呢都是一样的。既然有不同的恩赐呢，每一个人呢就各按自己的这个恩赐各尽所能。那么来到我们今天呢，我们教会里面也是如此，我们的信徒也是教会的肢体，每个人都有不同的恩赐。我们教会有许多的事工，然后弟兄姐妹呢可以照着自己的恩赐来服侍。更重要的是呢，我们要按着神的心意来去运用这些的恩赐。要如何来去按照神的心意运用这些的恩赐呢？就来到我们的第二个的重点，就是以爱来服侍，就是13章1到3节。爱是必须的，甚至是超越这一个的属灵恩赐。保罗呢，在这里用的爱呢，是从神而来的爱，是不变的爱。其实呢，这个爱呢，是神先给我们的。神向我们显现他的爱，他用具体行动来告诉我们他的爱。他为我们钉在十字架上，他来呢是要服侍人，不是被服侍。他为了我们钉在十字架上，洗净我们的罪，把我们的罪恶和死亡从那里拯救出来。然后呢，他也因为爱而复活，所以呢，我们有永恒的盼望。所以当我们每一个人领受了耶稣基督的爱的时候呢，我们就可以透过他赐给我们的这个属灵恩赐彰显出来。我们可以以不同的恩赐，以爱来服侍，来建立教会。在保罗也提到服侍的时候呢，如果我们没有爱呢，其实呢我们得不到什么东西。如果没有爱呢，根本和我们没有关系，我们不会得到益处。所以你会问什么是爱，我们要怎样来服侍呢？其实在接下来的第4到7节呢，就很详细了谈到这一些的原则。这段的经文呢，其实是爱的真谛，很多的婚礼上都会使用。但是其实在这里告诉我们服侍的时候带着 爱去服侍的一些的原则。我们可以带着忍耐去服侍，我们可以带着恩慈去服侍，我们不自夸，我们不张狂，我们听别人的意见，我们不求自己的益处，我们只要真理。凡事包容，凡事相信，凡事盼望。所以我们在服侍的时候，我们就带着这样的原则，以爱来服侍。当我们领受了各样的属灵恩赐来建立教会的时候呢，我们就能够在爱里面来去服侍，使我们在主的爱中建立成长。那么最后刚才会以一个见证分享作为结束哈，就是有一位的姐妹呢，她的名字叫黄美莲，她是患有脑瘫的，影响了她的四肢还有面部，所以呢导致她无法行动和说话。但她不但没有因为这样的事情而埋怨而觉得不公平，反而呢她希望她可以唱出内心感恩的声音，为主做见证。所以呢他这首歌的诗歌的名字呢叫做如果我能唱，就是我们刚刚听到的这一个的诗歌。所以虽然黄美莲姐妹呢她不能唱歌，但是她可以写歌，其他的基督徒可以互相的帮助支持这位姐妹，其他的人可以帮她作曲编排这一个的歌，然后呢其他人也可以用美妙的歌声把这首的诗歌呈现出来，祝福大家。我想这就是基督的身体的样子，愿我们每一个人作为基督的身体的肢体，按照神所赐给我们不同的属灵恩赐，彼此相爱，彼此服侍，在主的爱中被建立成长。阿们。
Thank you, Janice. May I now invite all of us to stand as I lead us in prayer.Let us pray. Gracious God, our loving Heavenly Father, we thank you and praise you for your grace and mercy in granting us spiritual gifts to serve you and your people. Help us not only to identify and use these gifts to serve, but also to serve in love, for you are the one who first loved us, and even your Son, our Lord Jesus, came to serve and not to be served.Father, as we celebrate the Chinese New Year with family and friends, we remember the faith, hope, and love in our Lord Jesus. Keep us secure in this love, so that our conversations will encourage others, our thoughts will be pleasing to you, and our deeds will display your love to a world that is so deprived of it. Help us, Lord, for we give thanks and pray all these in Jesus' name. Amen.